From SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
Today, an original song from an 8th grade student at West Allegheny. But first, Montour High School student Abby Mincer talks with entrepreneur Nathan Martin, founder and CEO of Pittsburgh company Deep Local.
My name is Abby Mincer for Spartan Express Radio. This is my profile of a man whose unique talents and background led him into a surprising career.
My name is Nathan Martin. I'm the CEO of Deep Local, which is an innovation studio, kind of art and engineering here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Nathan is not the kind of person most people would expect to become a CEO. In fact, his childhood dreams seemed to lead him in an entirely different direction.
I grew up in Greensburg, so kind of middle of nowhere in the suburbs. Probably when I was like 14 or 15, I got interested in art. And then I also, you know, had some weirdo friends. So I was a skateboarder and started my first band when I was 16 years old. So I was into kind of heavy punk music. I thought my dream was to just kind of live in an apartment with my friends and skateboard every day in Greensburg. That was a really short-sighted dream.
And although he didn't particularly care about school, he did well enough that it gave him the opportunity to escape his small town.
I did get accepted to NYU and Carnegie Mellon and actually got offered scholarships to both of them.
Nathan decided to attend Carnegie Mellon for art, but he ended up learning about much more than what he originally expected.
I cared more about music than I did art, and I also wasn't really sure I was an artist. Like, the whole time I was there, I wasn't really sure that was what I wanted to do, which is, I think, probably why I took all these different classes and learned all this different stuff. But I think that that was really formative for me, because I think that do-it-yourself attitude, being in a band, booking shows, putting out records, where I did everything. I did the design, I did the distribution, I did the promotion. I learned a lot about a lot of different things. And then my art career, I got really into interactive installations. So I was building electronics and writing code and some robotics, and I was doing all that under the guise of art. So I think those two things and the way that they had collided, that kind of more general approach to art, which was more conceptual, and then the music and the do-it-yourself attitude of music, I think those two things kind of collided in a nice way for me. At the time, I was just really this angry kid. But in retrospect, I think I learned so much during that time that I now apply to running a business.
After graduating from CMU, Nathan struggled to figure out exactly where his future was going to take him. He found a job in Pittsburgh where he made websites, but shortly after that, he ended up in San Francisco, where he lived with his band and had a job programming cell phones. But that, too, was a short-lived time in his life. Soon, he and his band decided to leave San Francisco behind.
I lived out there in San Francisco for about 2 years, and then, honestly, my band, it was just a struggle. It was a very expensive city to live in. I was probably a little homesick, and we all decided we were going to go on a tour that was about 5 months long, and we decided we would just leave town. Like, we would just go on this tour, and when we were done, we would just end up back in Pittsburgh. Let's just move back. So we went on a five-month tour through Europe and North America. And we did exactly that. We ended up back in Pittsburgh. At that point, I had no job. I had no money. So I moved back to Pittsburgh. I didn't even have a place to live. So a good friend of mine had these friends that were like ravers. They volunteered that I could live in their basement for free. So I cleaned up their basement and slept next to a furnace on cinder blocks, a door, and a small mattress put on top of it. And I slept next to the furnace. And I actually cooked on a hot plate. And I did that for about close to a year.
After that, Nathan was offered a scholarship to go back to school and get his master's degree. CMU also paid him to research mapping software and encouraged him to start his own company and develop his research further, which he did.
Around that time, it wasn't easy. My two co-founders were partially committed to the company. I was the only one that kind of left Carnegie Mellon and spent full time at the company. We got a 500 square foot office in East Liberty, a neighborhood here. It was the only place that would rent me a month-to-month lease. I didn't have any personal wealth or personal money to start the business with. We each chipped in $250. That's how we started the company and paid for the incorporation. I incorporated online. I filed the trademark. I did all that.
The company tried to develop the mapping software, but then Google Maps came out and rendered their research irrelevant. So Nathan had to rethink his future yet again.
I decided that the only way the company was going to exist is if I kind of built it around what I thought I was good at, which was this combination of kind of like art and technology. If I'm going to work at a company and I'm not going to make any money, I might as well do what I like doing. And if it goes out of business, so what? I didn't really have a plan anyway.
And while this idea appealed to Nathan, it was very vague. Too vague, said seemingly everyone around him.
The criticism my company always had, or I always had, was that I didn't have an elevator pitch. In a single line, I could never say what Deep Local was, and I still have that problem to this day. I think I ended up embracing that. Instead of saying, like, yeah, we have to do one thing and you have to do it well, because that's what everyone, every investor told me, I said, but I'm not good at doing one thing. I have a really poor attention span, and I'm a bad listener, and I think what I'm good at is actually a little bit of everything.
Finally, a defining moment for the company that led them into the niche they still occupied today came when Nathan's old friend from his band days contacted him.
He called me because he had seen an art project that when I was traveling around with a band I had shown off that Greg, our CTO, had worked on in college. It was a robotic device that would basically print spray paint on the ground. And he said, hey, you know, I work at this ad agency. It's called Wieden & Kennedy. Our client is Nike. We just pitched this idea using an image from this thing you showed me back in like 1998. And we want to make it for the Tour de France. And so I didn't know what was really involved. Greg and I designed a system that basically be able to print messages directly on the roads of the Tour de France. It ended up being called the Nike Chalkbot. The idea was people would send in messages about cancer survival or lost loved ones, personal messages, and this machine would print the messages directly on the ground. A camera would snap a picture of it and it would send it back to a user. So if you submitted a message on Twitter or on a web page or something, you would get this back, a document where it printed and the actual photo of it somewhere in France. And so we designed and built this machine, took it to France, operated during the tour, and did that all as like a five-person company. And the project, one, it kept us afloat as a business, but it also was really defining for us because it was a moment where we realized while we were there that this thing was kind of incredible.
This project won many advertising industry awards and encouraged Nathan and his company to continue pursuing this type of creative work by working for ad agencies and building interactive installations for them.
And then we realized that there was no future for us as a business working underneath these ad agencies. We felt like we were actually creative, we were smart, we were inventors. Why are we working for people that we don't admire? We need to questioning our role. And we were also watching other companies start up and pay attention to our success and try to mimic what we were doing. So we decided as a team, throw caution to the wind again for the second time and say, you know what? We're going to work for brands directly. We can do this. We can be like these advertising agencies. We don't need to have all the bloat that they have. We're just going to reinvent the model. Many people in the industry told us that was not going to work, that we would not be able to do this. We weren't an agency. We didn't know what we were doing. I mean, maybe we didn't, but we learned very, very quickly. So we got one client, American Eagle Outfitters, and we used that to spiral and get others. So fast forward to now. We work with Google, Spotify, Airbnb, Lyft, Netflix, Hulu, Nike, a lot of really great clients. And we've been able to do that all from our office here in Pittsburgh, just growing organically and slowly. And now we're a staff of about 60 people. And we ended up kind of reaching another pinnacle about a year ago when we agreed to be acquired by a larger entity called WPP. Basically, they're the largest holding company in the world for advertising. So they own some of the biggest agencies in the world, like Ogilvy and JWT, the agencies that Mad Men was based off of. We are by far one of the smallest acquisitions they've ever made. We did that for a reason, not just for money. I'm very ambitious. I think that we can be much bigger than we are. I think that we can serve more clients than we do. I think we can talk in industries that we're not talking in right now. I think we can create value. I think we can do more. And so I wanted to get past the limitations that we had being a smaller company in Pittsburgh and leverage WPP to reach larger C-suite clients globally. And we're only beginning to get there.
Over the years, Nathan has learned many significant lessons. These include the importance of hiring only hardworking, great people, owning your background rather than being ashamed of it, and listening, but not always following, advice. Here are some others he's learned.
Treat everyone like a human. I think that that's important. I think that often service companies forget that the company is just a name or a brand and that you're actually working for people and they have to want to work with you and for you. I work with a lot of my friends. People will tell you that's a bad thing. I don't think it is. I have a lot of devotion to my friends and And it's nice that I come to work and they're here. I've never been good at separating my personal life from my private. When I was in a band, it was with my friends. My friends became a part of my art group. Everything was always all tied up. And now I'm married to our CMO. I have a hard time segregating what I do for business from what I do for pleasure. To me, they're all kind of intertwined.
Nathan's role as a leader has impacted many others, especially the employees of his company, Deep Local. For example, Greg Baltus, Deep Local's chief technology officer, says that the company wouldn't be what it is without Nathan's passion and watchful eye regarding every aspect of it. Heather Martin, Deep Local's chief marketing officer, also acknowledges Nathan's impact on the company.
From the very beginning, Nathan's own personality and his own background has manifested itself into the brand for the company. His unique DNA, being a punk rocker in the past and running an art group collective, has really influenced what our brand is. Everything from the words we use to speak about ourselves to our logo, to the way in which we communicate. A lot of that has been based on Nathan's background. We've sort of adopted that, as well as Pittsburgh and the hardworking culture that we have here.
Last year, Nathan and his wife had a child, which has greatly affected his priorities.
What having a child did for me is it made it really clear that there is a lot more in life than what I do for a job or for a living. I actually don't think I work here anymore for myself. I think I work here because I want to see some of my close friends and peers do well financially, and I want to contribute to that.
Finally, Nathan has some life advice for others.
I don't care about money. I don't think money does much for my quality of life. So when I think about success, I definitely think about how satisfied I am with my life. And I think that having this child was, and getting married, are two of the most important parts to my happiness. And having a company, I'm glad it's done well, but I don't think my happiness would be that much different if it had gone out of business 10 years ago. So don't worry about money. Don't worry about being successful in other people's eyes. Worry about your friends and family, because that's all that really matters.
For Spartan Express Radio, this has been Abby Menzer. I'd like to thank Nathan and Heather Martin, as well as Greg Baltus, for their time and openness during our interviews.
That profile was produced by Abby Menzer of Montour High School's Spartan Express. Now, 8th grade singer-songwriter Gabriella Salvucci with Our Own Song, an original composition she shared live in our studios in September 2018.
Stuck in some random position. It's hard to sing when no one is listening, but we do it anyway. Yeah, we do it anyway. Sadness makes my voice shake. I can't find the words I'm feeling. I feel them every day. I'll try to see them some way. In lines for our time, but sometimes we wait too long. It isn't fair, we can't sing our own song, our own song, so we know that we truly belong. Time to be happy and free hasn't passed, hasn't come, but I can feel the breeze. I think a new time has begun. We wait in lines for our time, but sometimes we wait too long. It isn't fair, we can't sing our own song. so we know that we truly belong.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.